Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. This is part two of a two-part feature. In part one, we talked about Dan Chun's book, How to Pick a Spouse. And as he discussed matters, I mentioned about Dr. Neil Clark Warren, the founder and CEO of eHarmony.com, who wrote in the foreword of the book, Dan Chun is an experienced, dedicated, unbelievably wise, and down-to-earth writer. He knows how to be practical both in his encouragement and his advice. Dr. Warren continues, let me get right to the point. If you're thinking about getting married, and if you're a Christian, you need to read this book. It will inform you like you've never been informed before. Dr. Gary Chapman, the author of The Five Love Languages, he writes, it's an amazing book on an exceedingly important subject. I highly recommend it to all single adults. Dan Chun is the senior pastor of First Presbyterian Church of Honolulu. In 1983, he founded Hawaiian Islands Ministries with his wife Pam, with Honolulu Spring Gatherings of 4,000 adults and teenagers. The Chuns have trained more than 50,000 church leaders. He's a former journalist, a TV newscaster with the CBS affiliate in Honolulu. He's spoken all over the United States and in countries like England, Thailand, China, Singapore, and the Philippines. Dan received his master's degree from the University of Southern California in cinema production. His MDiv and DMin from Fuller Theological Seminary, where he is also a trustee. He's a rabid fan of Compassion International and the Alpha Course. You can follow Dan's blog at danchun.com. He and his wife, Pam, they have three children and two wonderful dogs, Max and Holly. Dan, welcome back as we start part two. Let's get into this area of the seven C's. Chapter 5 of your book, How to Pick a Spouse. What are the seven C's?
Well, first of all, I think whenever someone wants to get married, they all have this secret list in their mind of these are the best reasons to get married, and they pick somebody because based on looks or sense of humor or wealth or sex appeal. And so I suggest seven qualities that should be high on anyone's list as they look for compatibility and value in a spouse. And so one of the seven C's is character. I mean, clearly, this will be the moral thermometer of a person's integrity, and characters are how we figure out if they're honorable and they're decent. And you can't ever sell short a person who has integrity, and so you have to look for that. I mean, if this guy is always looking at other women while you're talking to him, or if he hits you, you know, that's a character issue that you have to look at. And you have to look for honesty. As you know, are there little lies that are said down then? So character is the first one.
I mean, you talk about chemistry, competency, culture. Well, that really, really stood out. What are cultural points that need to pay attention to?
Well, clearly, there's a lot of aspects of culture. There's education, there's ethnicity, there's etiquette, there's financial upbringing, there's sophistication in the arts, a faith, culture, financial expectations. But it's very important to understand culture because people can come from such different points of view. I remember a buddy of mine who is from Wahiawa, Hawaii, nice local boy from the small town of Wahiawa. And he was dating Jody and went to see a piano concert, flute and piano concert. And during the concert, Eric kept on humming. And And Jody thought, you know, what's wrong with this guy? What kind of bumpkin is this? I mean, she was educated in music culture. She's an East Coast girl. And she went to hear the music and just the music. But Eric thought, oh no, I want to hum along with it. And it's a piano concerto. And so he was into passion and emotions, and Jody wanted to hear the music. And so that's one of the areas where there could have been a clash of cultures in the date. But those kinds of things you have to watch. Now, Jody didn't like that, but in the end, they did get married and have one of the best marriages I know. But it was something to think of. He almost called it off after that one date.
What about competency?
Well, people have to be competent in what they do. And you don't want to marry somebody who can't keep a job, who's not responsible with money, and or is always coming late to work. I mean, who wants to marry somebody who's failing in a job? And so competency is very important, because you need to have some organizational skills in running a house. And so competency is incredibly critical.
One thing I saw in there was just more specifically someone having a skill.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to master something or be proficient at something. And that was an important quality that is something that would need to be looked for in a spouse.
Yes. I mean, you're hoping your spouse is someone you can respect, and out of respect is a detection of some competency. And, you know, in the money area, you know, are they competent enough to stay out of financial debt? You don't want to go into financial debt. So that's one of the seven C's.
And you talked about commitment, communication, and core values. What about core values?
Well, you know, everyone has core values that they hold very dear to themselves. And so the trick is to figure out what is the core value that really drives them. And, so, I mean, to be something political, I mean, if the person you're dating really is a strong Democrat, how do you feel about that? Are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? But that's a value that really drives it. For Christians, I mean, if you're really claiming that Jesus Christ is your best friend and your Lord who guides you, and he's the one who teaches you how to forgive or repent, then you want to find somebody who can you can share your best friend and Lord with. So it just makes sense in that way. And so you want to know, what are the core values even in how one forgives? Is it revenge when they're hurt, or is it reconciliation? Do they give it the right to retaliate, or do they want to retaliate? Very important for that C.
Okay, what about someone who is, you talk about someone who's strong in their faith and going to marry somebody who is on the fringe, stronger and weaker. When they come together, typically speaking, does the weaker one pull down the stronger one, or does the stronger person pull up the weaker person?
I know there are always exceptions, but it seems in the strong majority, it always goes to the person of the lowest denominator. Yeah, and so if you married somebody who doesn't want to go to church, and you love to go to church, after a while you realize you stop going to church to be with your spouse. And if, you know, the person doesn't want to study the Bible, then you find that you may not be studying the Bible as much, and the kids aren't going to Sunday school. So normally it gravitates towards that, and finally the person says, well, I just won't go to church anymore.
Premarital advice. You give some practical things in chapter 6. There's this section entitled When Circumstances Change Abruptly. So you tell a graphic story. So how does this relate to love, loving and liking?
Well, I think in terms of when circumstances abruptly change, is that one of the stories I share when I'm giving premarital advice is when I was in seminary, actually, there was a missionary couple that very soon after they got married, the man was hit by a car soon after the wedding, and he ended up in a wheelchair for life. And so I often ask couples, You know, God forbid, but if something were to happen to your spouse right after the wedding that's debilitating, would you be that committed? Would you stay with that person? For me, it was always an indicator of how loyal they were and what their integrity was like. And if they would say, you know, no, if something happened to my husband, I'm not going to stick around, I'm going to leave, then that would be a real yellow flag, if not a red flag, of maybe these two should not be together. It's really sad in premarital times when I'm counseling, and I come to the realization or the decision where I actually recommend, I don't think you two should get married. But as you'll see in the book, that there's a story of when years later, somebody came up to me at a conference, says, you may not remember me, but you told me not to marry the guy I was dating, and I just want to introduce you to my husband today and my two kids, and I want to thank you that you said that. So I can avoid we can avoid a lot of pain if we, again, listen to our friends.
Well, it certainly takes a lot of courage to say no, or to say you don't recommend, basically to tell a couple you're not ready or you shouldn't get married. And you've done that. You've done courageous things throughout your life and ministry, Dan, one of which is working for decades and putting together the material and writing this book, How to Pick a Spouse, which is available at howtopickaspouse.com. That's where you can get it. It's written by Dr. Dan Chun. He's in studio with me today. This is part two of a two-part feature. You can find out more at thegoodlifehawaii.com. When we come back, more from Dr. Dan Chun. Why does he say a successful marriage cultivates the 60-40 attitude? That and more from Dan Chun when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Dan Chun writes a book, How to Pick a Spouse. In fact, you can get it at howtopickaspouse.com. He goes into great details in various aspects. He peels off many different layers of how to pick a spouse, because he is adamantly opposed to perpetuating a culture of divorce. And this is one way to help facilitate that. One very, very impactful way. You can find out more again at howtopickaspouse.com. You're listening to the Good Life Warrior Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm so glad you're with us today. To find out more about this program, to get the program in its entirety as a free podcast, go to thegoodlifewarrior.com. You can get the program for free. Dan, you write, you illustrate, you share examples. This might sound a bit hard. I don't mean it to come across that way, but why, Dan? Why should somebody listen to Dan Chun on this subject, how to pick a spouse?
Well, first of all, I think I actually come out of a point of weakness and failure. And I know that sounds funny, but I actually went through a divorce. And it was just during, of all times, during seminary years before I became a pastor. And I was married for about 3 years, and my first marriage didn't work out. So I know firsthand the pain of divorce and how horrible it is. And I know what it's like to have been single twice in my life. And so I have great empathy for those who go through divorce and also who have lost loved ones through death, and also for those who have never been married, of what it's like to be single. Second is that I have had the privilege of being a singles pastor and only working with singles for 6.5 years at a church called Menlo Park Presbyterian Church near Stanford, California, and near San Francisco. And so when you study just one area and do nothing else, you can really understand the issues that singles are facing. And that's what I went through. And third, I did have the privilege of seeing a lot of them get married, and over 261 did get married around that time, and only 25 got divorced. And they apparently heard, at least used, some of the principles I taught, and that only created a 9.5% divorce rate, way below the national average. And fourth, I got married to my wonderful wife, Pam, and we've been married 32 years now and have 3 kids and 2 dogs. And so I do know what it takes to pick the right spouse, and also have had the blessing of a fulfilled and a good marriage. So that's part of it. And I've been a pastor for over 32 years. And so whether married or people going through divorce, or whether people are singled, I've had the opportunity to counsel and listen and learn of what would work in picking a spouse.
Why do you say a successful marriage cultivates the 60-40 attitude?
Yeah, the 60-40 rule is, you know, oftentimes you hear people say that marriage is always 50-50. You know, if the husband does his part and the wife does hers, then all will be happy. But that's actually a lie. I think a successful marriage cultivates a 60-40 attitude, in which you go into it saying, I'm going to put in 60% of the effort. I'm going to make sure that I'm putting in more than my share to make it work. And if my spouse should put in 50%, well, that's more than I bargained for. I was only expecting 40% back. And if your spouse only puts in 40%, or less, you can say, well, at least I expected that I was going into being the main servant, contributor, giver to the relationship. So if you have two people going into a relationship, into a marriage, where both are trying to be 60-40, both are trying to outdo the other one in good, you have a great marriage, as opposed to keeping score. When it's 50-50, you kind of keep score. Well, I did my half, and how come she's not, you know, doing dishes or taking out the garbage today? Because, you know, I did it the last 3 days. That kind of scorekeeping doesn't help. But if you go into it saying, I'm going to do more than my share, then it's kind of like Galatians 6:9 that says, do not be weary in doing good. And so that's the marriage that works.
You have a chapter entitled Antivirus Software. It's so practical. I think it could save a lot of heartache. You talk about these traits, one of which is stinginess. What is stinginess, Dan?
Well, you know, every computer should be protected with antivirus software. And I think every relationship should have a set of warning signs akin to antivirus software. And stinginess is one of the things that should go beep, 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 beep if you see that in a dating relationship. I mean, I actually know of a couple, and you may find this hard to believe, or there are some husbands who limit the allowance to their wives as low as $5 to $25 at a time. And they're not living at poverty level. And I think if a person is stingy in a relationship, and you can see that in dating, then there's something wrong. They don't live in an area of grace. They don't live in an area of abundance or generosity. And that, I think that's a big warning sign. That's one of the signals on the antivirus software.
You talk about anger and codependency as well as blame as part of these. But what about codependency?
Codependency is kind of interesting. You know, there's a marriage family therapist named Tina Tessina who says basically when you make a relationship more important to you than you are to yourself, that's when codependency starts. And it's when you're dependent on the relationship, not necessarily the person, but on the relationship for fulfillment. And so it's very dangerous when you get into a codependency. One person said, it's like when your friend is drowning and you decide to die. You don't have any feeling for yourself, and you sacrifice your own feelings, your own cares, all for the other person or for the relationship. So that is not good. I mean, yes, I said 60-40, but I'm not talking about 99-1 in terms of codependency.
When you find somebody when you're dating and you find out that he continues to blame, or she continues to blame, that would be another red flag, wouldn't it?
Oh, incredibly. It's just amazing how it's a huge warning sign that, you know, if the dog bites your friend you're dating, somehow it's your fault, then that's somehow wrong. If the dog gets sick, it's your fault.
Well, it speaks of a lack of self-esteem. What about parents? Does that come on the radar in the how to pick a spouse scenario?
Well, I think you just have to be aware as part of your antivirus software of how the parents can play a role in your life, and can you handle that? I mean, yes, you are marrying the one you are dating, but those, remember, the parents of the one you're dating will be with you for the rest of your life. And so you're going to be involved with them and raising the children and how you'll be affirmed or criticized. And so that has to be part of the decision-making process of can you handle these parents? And again, it can be really different. I think of my friend Carl from Hawaii. He was visiting his friend, girlfriend Louise on the East Coast. And Louise's parents are very prim and proper. They dress up for meals at home on a Saturday morning. The father actually wears a tie at home on Saturday morning. And, you know, my buddy Carl, they're waiting for him to come down for breakfast. And my buddy Carl comes out of his bedroom to join them. He comes bounding down the stairs. Lo and behold, he's only wearing shorts, you know, no shirt, no shoes, nothing. And so, you know, fortunately, Louise saw him first on the store and gave him a look of horror and mouth with hand motions to go back upstairs, get a shirt on and redress. And fortunately, Carl could run back upstairs before his future in-laws would see him. But that, you know, that was like a crash course insight into Louise's parents and the cultural difference. And, you know, Carl had to figure out, are these parents I can handle? In the end, he decided yes, and they have been married for decades. But it is important to know that ahead of time and really figure out, can you get through that?
Possessiveness, deception, addiction, these are all
big ones.
big ones on the antivirus software that you talk about. Spiritual incompatibility. What about self-centeredness? How is this different, self-centeredness different from self-interest?
Well, self-centeredness, you know, is somebody who's always thinking about himself. Now, self-interest, if you think about it, it's in our self-interest that many of us have chosen to follow Jesus. That's not bad. That's good. That's for our fulfillment. But self-centeredness is you're always, You love talking about yourself. You move conversations into what you're interested in. You put your needs before others. You know, you feel little remorse or guilt about people you hurt. You don't want to have any criticism. That's a huge warning flag. That's a huge antivirus software alarm that should be going up because you're not taking responsibility for their actions.
How about someone with a lack of social awareness?
That's really tricky, but you know that can be an embarrassing factor if your date, you walk into a restaurant, they're always talking loudly. And I'm not simply talking about like what fork to use for etiquette in a restaurant, but you know, someone who speaks loudly in a restaurant or in a library. He doesn't introduce himself to others. He doesn't talk to anybody at a party. She doesn't thank the host upon leaving a party. Always talking, not letting others speak, smothering or clinging to the one's romantic other. Those are all social awareness issues. I know that sounds gray, but there are things on all of our lists that if somebody offends those things, that we don't want to be married to that person.
No, and that's the thing, right? You're talking if that's intolerable,
right?
Then that's certainly a red flag marker,
right?
We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, more from Dan Chun, the author of the book, How to Pick a Spouse. You can find out more about this book and get this book. Get it for your friends. Get it for family members at howtopickaspouse.com. When we come back, online dating. What about the good operating system, the good OS? This and more from Dr. Dan Chun. When we come back, stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members.
All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm Danny Yamashiro here with Dr. Dan Chun. Dan is the author of the book, How to Pick a Spouse. And this is part two of a two-part feature, one of those where, you know, the content is such that it's so rich, and we needed to extend the show so we could expand further on what's in the book. You can get the book at howtopickaspouse.com. Before our break, we were talking about the antivirus software, some real warning signs when you're in the dating process of, you know, what to look out for. But now we want to go into talking about the good operating system. He's using these computer analogies to communicate some of these really important points. To find out more about our program, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, this and other resources. And again, to get this book, howtopickaspouse.com. Dan, the good OS, or the good operating system, what are some of these qualities that you talk about in your book?
Well, every computer has a core operating system that runs all of its functions. And so the good qualities, just to rattle them off, is like calm in the heat of battle. You know, can they handle it if there's an emergency? They're easily able to apologize. Are they a true listener? Do they demonstrate humility? So important. Do they value your opinions? Are they willing to compromise? Do they exhibit parent potential? Display a forgiving attitude. Are they good at resolving conflict? Are they trustworthy? Do they make and keep friends? Do they show financial responsibility? And do they speak and act with kindness? And if you're a Christian, you know, are they a church attender? Is that important in your operating system?
That's a lot. That's a lot. And someone could look, depending how self-critical they are, they could either within themselves as a point of self-reflection, or looking at the person that they're dating, see that there are gaps. What would you say are the absolute must-haves? And if this person lacks those qualities, sayonara.
Well, I would think demonstrates humility is a big one, because if a person is humble, then there's a good chance that person will be a good communicator, listen to you. There's a good chance that person will know how to apologize and be a good forgiver, good at resolving conflict, because that person will say, well, maybe it's me, maybe it's not you. So I would say demonstrates humility picks up a lot of the other ones if you have that kind of trait. And then also shows financial responsibility, big one, because you don't want to be in bankruptcy all your life. And I think if you're a Christian, you know, is a person a church attender, that's very, very important. You know, I said in the last segment, I talked about Shanti Feldhahn, who has a new book coming out called Good News About Marriage. And in her book, she shows that the divorce rate drops by 27% for the church attender if both you and your spouse are attending church. And that's a huge, fresh, national statistic that conflicts or denounces the earlier research that said, only if you're, or there's no difference between a Christian and a non-Christian divorce. There's a huge difference if the Christian is going to church.
Now, like when we talk about diminishing this, the divorce rate, why is online dating a divorce decreaser?
Well, I think it is, you know, there's a huge number of single people in the United States, 54 million, and 40 million have already tried online dating. That's amazing. So I think it works so well is because you are already in the mode of trying to be a researcher and look at statistics and figure out your odds and look at a person's trait, just as my book is trying to encourage people to do. And what's amazing is that, for example, eHarmony, which is the biggest online dating service, from 2005 to 2012, only 3.86% got separated or divorced. That's humongously low. Now, you may say, well, Dan, how come your figure is 9.5%? And this is, well, mine's over 20 years. Theirs is over 7 years. And so it's not exactly the same because theirs would not include the difficulty that happens later on in marriage. But that's an amazing. And if you look at all non-eHarmony online dating, they have a 6.23% separation or divorce rate. So I think the great thing about online dating is you're already attempting to find compatibility, and also you're looking for people outside your own social circle, and that's kind of cool. But, you know, in the online dating world, there's a whole buffet of choices. I mean, you have eHarmony, you have Match.com, you have Christian Mingle, you have SingleParentsMeet.com. I love the one called Plenty of Fish, POF.com. And it's broken down. You have Black People, Meet.com. You have ones for Jewish people. And you have Hispanic singles. You even have one for farmers. And so I think it really helps people are looking at dating. And, you know, one big pro is these are people who are interested in dating. Sometimes you walk into a party, nobody's interested in dating. Now you're with people who are interested in dating.
Remarriage and, getting married again. This is a reality for many. A listener might be saying, well, what about healing? Why is healing important before getting married again?
Well, in remarriage, it is a challenge because, number one, is you could have been so bruised and your self-esteem so bruised that the rebound effect is you just want somebody who smiles at you or expresses some kind of affection. So you really have to guard your heart because you could be very tender and vulnerable to any kind of affirmation from anyone. The second thing is you really have to have a time of introspection to figure out what went wrong in the first marriage. Because if you don't figure that out, you're bringing in the same luggage into the second marriage. And that's not good. But I think the wonderful world of the gospel is the gospel of the second chance. And if you've had a bad marriage, and it's not so much because of your own issues that have hurt people, that you have a chance of making things anew. So, I mean, even if you had a part in making it happen, you have a chance of, through God's grace, learn from that and do things differently. And if you've been treated poorly by somebody else, you have a chance to find somebody else who might treat you better. But it's remarriage is very difficult. It is, in a sense, it's worse than physical death because it's kind of like the zombie film Night of the Living Dead. The ex-spouse you don't get along with may still be around, and you may have to share the children with him or her or see them at graduation events or birthday events. And so that's very hard. And that's why I think churches should have ministries to single people, because there's a special care that goes for single people who have been divorced and want to get remarried.
You talk about in remarriage, this happens, but you talk about homeostasis or balance in relation to a blended family. How does that relate?
Well, homeostasis talks about this equilibrium in the environment. And so, you know, once one person's gone in a marriage and you're bringing home a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a stepfather or stepmother, everything gets thrown off, especially if you're in a blended family scenario. You know, what does it mean to your stepkids that the family has you now? Or how will you financially support them? What about college? So all these issues are very difficult in when the homeostasis is thrown about. And so I talk about some of the things to really understand in walking into that.
Is there a general time frame then you would suggest waiting before a divorced person dates again?
Well, I would say I would not even consider dating for about a year. And I know that sounds awfully unusual and counterintuitive, but I think it takes about a year to get your heart put back together. It makes you take the pressure off of you that you know you're not going to date, so you don't feel like you have to date. But you want to know who you are apart from somebody else. And there may have to be a lot of repairing and grief work that has to go through. And if you have kids, you need to balance that all out, that mom or dad won't leave you and you're not quickly trying to find somebody to replace your spouse for the sake of the kids. So it's a delicate time, but I know of many, many people, especially when I was working with singles only, who work through that and have a wonderful second marriage.
Then beneath all of this, as a infrastructure, as your foundation, throughout your book, How to Pick a Spouse, you use biblical references. It's anchored in the scriptures. But it's bringing in various insights, various parts of, whether it's research, forms of statistics. But what does the Bible actually say about how to pick a spouse? When we come back, if we can spend a little bit of time on that. What does the Bible say? You'll hear that from Dan Chun. He also speaks extensively as he wraps up his book. He talks about God's grace. And Dan will give us a parting shot today. And you don't want to miss that. He's the author of How to Pick a Spouse. That's Dan Chun. He'll be with us when we come back. Stay.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU. Weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Dan Chun is the author of the book, How to Pick a Spouse. You can find out more about that at howtopickaspouse.com. It's built on the foundation of the scriptures, what the scriptures say. And so in this segment, we'll talk about what does the Bible have to say about picking a spouse. Find out more about this program, this and other resources at thegoodlifehawaii.com. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Dan Chun is my guest today as part two of this two-part feature. Dan, what does the Bible have to say about picking a spouse?
Well, one of the best examples is in Genesis 24, 1 through 58. And I'm not going to read the whole story, but it's Abraham asking his servant to get a wife for his son Isaac. And if you study that, and I talk about that in one chapter, you see that some of the lessons we've talked about earlier come through again. So we see in lesson one that Abraham is seeking help from others to find a spouse for Isaac, and that could be a friend, or it could be, you know, eHarmony.com. In my case, it was an elder from my church who introduced me to my wife, Pam. And that was good because I wasn't dating anybody in my church because I felt that was not ethical. And so this Pam was going to another church. Lesson two, we find prayer is a big part of what the Bible says in choosing a spouse. Lesson three is, you know, base your criteria for a spouse on character. Lesson four is know what you bring to the table. You know, it's so funny. Sometimes people say, I want a spouse who knows how to pray. I want a spouse who is financially responsible. Well, I always switch it and say, well, do you pray? And he says, no. I said, well, why do you want to find a spouse who knows how to pray if you don't know how to pray? That's kind of inconsistent. And lesson five is, is there cooperation in how this union could happen? Or are you really trying to court and force and coerce this person to kind of marry you? Those are some of the lessons learned, as we see from the Bible in that Genesis chapter.
Then you, as a pastor, you deal daily with the imbalance, the incongruity, the discontinuity of life. Any pastor who's real is dealing with human beings who have faults. We have faults. Some of us have bigger and wider gaps than others. In the context of this book, incredible treasures that you share. What if someone who's listening or someone who reads feels tremendously inadequate because they don't fit the parameters of the infrastructure that's created? What would you say to a person like that who is looking for help?
Well, I would hope that throughout the book and my whole thinking about how to pick a spouse, that there is a strong atmosphere, environment, theme of grace, that we are all broken people. And so even when I talk about principles we should have in our life, I don't want, I hope, people saying, well, I'm not that way now, or I never was, or I made this mistake, prohibit us from understanding the grace that could come. If I may, I would love to read to you an email I got from someone. I speak about how to pick a spouse at a variety of places, both in this country and another country and other states. And in one of my talks, I talked about how a woman auctioned off her virginity, and she got a price as high as $3.7 million. And how I was just trying to make the point how virginity is valuable. But I got this email, which I think is so apropos. And she wrote this. She says, as I heard about the virginity auction in your talk, I heard a voice in my mind that always creeps into these conversations that says, you are worth nothing now. You are repulsive, and no godly man will ever want you. And you are worthless to God's kingdom. And while people from my background know the value of virginity, we still don't know the value of self. And she wrote this because she confessed that she, even though she signed a pledge card when young at a True Love Waits conference, she herself is no longer a virgin. And so she said, but praise God, I know the voice of the Good Shepherd. And he quickly said in my spirit, no, Jenny, you are worth far more than $3.7 million. I gave my life for you. I took your shame. The thing is, she wrote, those men don't value the woman you spoke of who auctioned off her body. They don't value her like a good spouse will. They wanted to violate her and use her for their sick fantasy of being a virgin. Praise God for my future husband. He won't base my worth on that. So I would say there is forgiveness and a new start for those who have not waited. Being a good partner will require me to know my value and to have it completely centered, as you say in your talks, on the truth. She said, on a side note and personal story, in one of my darkest hours years ago, I stood in the shower feeling so much shame. I wrote in the midst of the shower door, in the mist on the shower door, the word whore, and I just cried. The memory of that pain stuck with me for a long while. I felt like I wanted to run the race with God, but was doing it with a bum leg. Shame. One night, I literally had a dream that I was back in the same shower. Everything was the same, except Jesus was actually standing in the shower with me. He showed me his hands and pointed to the water going down the drain. Then in my dream, he took his hand and wiped away the word whore I had written in the mist, and wrote, Beloved. When I woke up from that dream, I felt free. I still feel free every time I tell it. My life's calling is to help people feel the freedom Jesus has given us. And so I'm hoping people will understand that as I talk about what we could do or should do, that if we're not there yet or have made some mistakes, that God's grace is above everything. And God's grace gives us the ability to write a new chapter, and that He is the Lord. God is the Lord of the second chance. And so I'm hoping that even though we've had maybe some bad dating patterns, or we feel our self-esteem isn't very high, or we've had a bad divorce, maybe two bad divorces, maybe we've been widowed, maybe we've never been married, I'm hoping that people understand that in the midst of the tools that I'm trying to give them to pick a good spouse, that they know that God is giving them the ability to experience His grace and be able to write a new chapter for their lives.
A tender word from the heart of Pastor Dan Chun to you, dear friend. You can hear the love in his voice and the grace of God through him. He writes in his epilogue entitled God's Grace, it's never too late to turn around. It's never too late to incorporate new ideas in your life. It's never too late to have a conversation to see if a relationship is heading in the right direction. That and more from Pastor Dan Chun. Pastor Dan, you have a plea for churches to have a singles ministry. We've got a couple minutes, maybe a brief word on that, and then a final parting shot to our listeners as we close.
Well, I think singles are wonderful and valued people. I think oftentimes society or even churches doesn't know fully what to do with them. In terms of, in some of the sermons we pastors give, we only talk about when you come home to your spouse or when you have kids or whatever. And I think there are special needs for singles that need to be addressed in churches. And when I led our singles ministry back in California, I was amazed that after 3 years, we had several thousand singles attending. And that's because there was no other place that if you wanted to find a Christian or you wanted to find a spouse of integrity or a date of a person who potentially would have integrity, you didn't want to go to a bar. You didn't want to go to a dance place. They wanted to come to a church and also to get some teaching along the way, as I did, about how to pick a spouse, how to have healthy relationships and friendships. And I think if we could have churches here that could have singles ministries, you couldn't build doors big enough to keep people out. They would pour in.
And you have in that last part of your book, in one of the appendices, an actual outlay of having and starting and developing a singles ministry in a local church. And I hope that someone takes that and runs with it. And I know that's your heart too, Dan, that it would grow and build and really reach many singles, minister to them. A parting shot, Dan, we've got about 30 seconds, to a dear listener who's heard either one or both of these segments on this series, How to Pick a Spouse.
I would just say that I hope you hear that my intention is to come alongside people and give them tools of some principles that have been practical and proven for others, and that I hope they could help you all and in whatever stage of life you are, single, divorced, or widowed, or maybe you're a grandparent who wants to give this book to a grandchild or a parent to a son or daughter, that I'm hoping that people will have fulfilled, meaningful, happy marriages, and that we could stop the spread of divorce in our state, in our cult, in our country.
Dan, I want to thank you for writing this book. It's a book for the generations to come, as well as us today. A real champion for singles is Pastor Dan Chun. He's the author of the book, How to Pick a Spouse. You can find out more about that book, how to get hold of it, at howtopickaspouse.com. Dan, thank you for joining me, joining us in this very special time together. Thank you. I hope you've been encouraged by this heartfelt sharing on how to pick a spouse from Dan Chun. As I typically say, you know, God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, my friend, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special message for you there. And to help us with your financial support and to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Proverbs 13:10 says, "Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice." Dan Chun has given great advice today, and it's always a blessing to be with you, and a special thank you to him, Dan Chun, at howtopickaspouse.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, our guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll